I had something else planned for the introduction. I really want to challenge you guys today, just like I challenged the wives last week. But I want to do that out of the encouragement of the gospel, out of the confirmation and joy and encouragement that is yours in Christ and who He is with you. I was blown away afresh and anew this morning, standing right back there as we sung this song, "A Debtor to Mercy Alone, of Covenant Mercy I Sing." Now look at this. "I come with your righteousness on, my humble offering to bring. The judgments of your holy law with me can have nothing to do. My Savior's obedience and blood hide all of my transgressions from view. As a husband, that encourages me that my status before God, my acceptance with God, is not based on my righteousness. I don't have any. But it's based on Jesus. And if you're trusting in Jesus, your record reads His righteous accomplishment. And His obedience and blood hides all of my transgressions, my sins from view." Why am I starting here instead of the other way I wanted to start? I want that to be just be right in front of your face. That if you're trusting in Jesus before the judgment throne of God, you are as righteous as Jesus is because you have His righteousness and you are clothed in His righteousness. And your sin, as fresh as it is to you, is dealt with. His obedience, He perfectly fulfilled all of His commands for you in thought, word, and deed. And then His blood, that's His sacrifice, that cross where He paid the penalty, do every one of your sins so that His righteousness and His atonement hide all of my transgressions from you because they are gone. So husbands, all of your failure, all of your selfishness, all of your half-stepping, struggle to be a good, godly husband and have not reached perfection yet. If you're trusting in Jesus this morning, all of that is washed away in His blood. That should produce love for Jesus that will make you want to passionately follow Him. Not depending on your own righteousness, but depending on His righteousness and sacrifice on your behalf. We're going to talk today about how does the gospel shape my role as husband? Just like we did last week, how the gospel shapes your roles, ladies, as wives. You may be a wife now. You may be going to be a wife. You may have been a wife and lost a love. You know, there's a lot of people in a lot of situations, but God's Word and His gospel encourage you. And, you know, bless others with the knowledge He's given you if you are no longer married and have lost a loved one. You're useful in God's church. Guys and girls, eat this stuff up if you're not married yet. Marriage is one of the only things we ever do that we don't prepare for. We just dive in and it'll be all right. Well, it won't be all right. You're going to struggle more if you don't prepare. Ladies, if you missed last week, husbands, hold them accountable. Go listen to last week's sermon. And listen to this week's sermon. But not that you can hold anything over his head. You just need to understand both roles. And it's all pointing us to Jesus and the church. And so it equips us and helps us. But this, you know, last week, how does the gospel shape my role as wife? And we went through some of the cultural misunderstandings and what the gospel calls us to through the Word of God. And this week, how does the gospel shape the husband's role? And so my title for this sermon is Humble Headship. Humble headship. Not arrogant headship. Not top-down headship. Not boss man headship. Don't bring that stuff home with you. I said that last week. Humble servant leadership. Humble headship. We're in the section of Ephesians chapters 4 through 6 that show us how that gospel that's given to us in chapters 1 through 3 changes our lives. What does Christ command us to be on the basis of what He is for us and what He's done for us? He saved us and now He is making us like Himself. He's given us all different roles. And today, the role is husbands. And so, we're going to look at verses 25 through 30. My plan was last week to do a sermon related more to the wives. This week, more to the husbands. And then next week, on the two together as a picture of Christ in the church. So we'll finish out verses 31 to 33 next week. And we hope to provide some resources for you, some books to recommend, things that you can read, study, watch to help you grow in your marriage relationship. But this that we're talking about last week for the wives, this week for the husbands, this is foundational in your home. If you don't get this right, it creates all sorts of struggle and chaos in the home. So husbands, eyes on Christ, you being the kind of husband He calls you to be. Ladies, eyes on Christ, you being the kind of wife He calls you to be. Not trying to fix the other husband, not trying to fix her. Trust Jesus, grow together, eyes on Him. That brings us together in unity. Not I'll do when they do. I'll do because He did and He says. Okay? You might be married to a wretch. You still need to glorify Jesus in the way you live in your home. Okay? So last week, wives, and I don't know anybody in here who's married to a wretch, but, and if I did, I wouldn't tell you. But this week, from the text, husbands are to love their wives like Jesus loves His church. And it's flowing out of that rich gospel that we saw in the beginning. But look back in verses 25 to 27 of Ephesians chapter 5. How does the gospel order the home? And this week it's the husband's turn. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wow. Love your wives. Husbands, love your wives. Not husbands, see if you feel like you love your wives. And then love your wives. Husbands, love your wives. You know what that is? That's a command. America messes up. We have this mushy, emotional, sentimental view of love. Something we fall into and fall out of. And that's not it. Selfish indulgence. Not love. Now, love produces good feelings sometimes. Produces misery sometimes. Love at its base is commitment. Commitment to Jesus. Commitment to the spouse He's given you. You say you cannot command love. Well, if you say that, that means you don't understand love. Because Jesus commands you to love your wife. You have exactly the wife that you need for God to work in your situation to make all you need to be and to be like Jesus. Husband, love your wives. And you say, okay, I'm willing to. How? Glad you asked. We don't have to guess. Jesus has blazed the trail of love for us. And that's exactly what Paul brings into the picture. This is a present tense command. Notice it doesn't say love your wives once. It means continually. Love your wife like Jesus loved the church and loves the church. We'll see. Comes out. Be continually loving your wife. Commanded to. Press into loving your wife. Always, no matter how you feel. I don't feel like I love my wife. I don't care. In one sense, I do. You shouldn't always be feeling that way. But sometimes, you know what? You're going to feel like you don't love your wife. I'm just being real. Sometimes she's going to feel like she don't love you. That's not the root and foundation and base of our love. It's commitment to Jesus and commitment to one another. So, when I perform a wedding, I ask for a commitment from the wife, yes, but I ask for a commitment from the husband to love his wife as long as the two of them shall live. That's what Jesus calls you to. To love your wife as long as the two of you shall live. And God commands it when it's easy and when it's hard and when it's comfortable, and when it's uncomfortable, and when it's fun, and when it's miserable, you are entering into a covenant committed relationship with another person with whom you become one flesh. So you should no more think about doing away with that person than you should think about cutting off your leg, your arm, your head. Now, there are some biblical grounds for divorce. We're not getting into that this morning. But they're not many. And it's not what this culture puts in front of you. Think about Jesus and the bride. Think about Jesus and the bride He chose to love. And the bride that He loves. Think about His commitment to a people who were His enemies, who were mired in filth. All of our righteousness is filthy rags. Who don't always do what He says and who don't always seek their pleasure in Him. Yet He's committed. He's steadfast. He is saving His people. He is a husband to His church. And we as husbands are to follow the pattern of Christ. So thankfully, Paul gives us more information. Look in verse 25. Love your wives as... Now, thankfully, that doesn't mean as much as. Because you would immediately say, can't do that. Not the God man. No. It means in the way. Like Him. Love like Him. Love according to the pattern that He has set. And then Paul first lays out that pattern. But this is a call for you to love your wife like Jesus loves you. Because if you're trusting in Jesus, you're part of the church. If you're trusting in Jesus, you are His body. You are one flesh, spiritually speaking, with Christ. So how has He loved you? Now you love that way. Notice, not one part of this is you looking to see what somebody deserves. Except for Jesus. He deserves your best, most attentive, continuing love of your wife. And that's what He's called you to. But look at this, the characteristics of His love. First, sacrificial. Look at this, Paul says this, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Gave Himself up. This is a self-denying, humble, others-serving love to the undeserving. To the undeserving. I mean, if Jesus calls us to love our enemies, to bless those who curse us, to pray for those, certainly we are to love those in our household. It's not a what have you done for me lately type thing. It's in sickness and health. And on we could go. But look at what Jesus has done for you. Don't get tripped up by the word her. Her stands for His body, the church, of which you are a part if you're trusting in Jesus. So this is what Jesus has done for you. He has given Himself up. He left heaven to come to the darkness and dirt and filth of this world. To live out a perfect righteousness. Not that He needed, but that you needed. And then He went to the cross and paid the penalty for your sin. He was holy and righteous. But He took your punishment upon Himself. Guys, if you're trusting in Jesus, He took eternal hell for you. Amen. How might that affect how you think of Him? Without Him, eternal hell. Condemnation, punishment, because we fall short of keeping His commands in thought, word, and deed. We fall short of the righteousness that God requires. We have nothing but filthy rags to present. And Jesus ran into our mess and sacrificed Himself to save us. He lived in perfect righteousness, deserving only blessing. He went to that cross and died for our sin, more than physical death. Yes, physical death. But on that cross, absorbed, because He is God and man, the God-man, the equivalent of your eternal hell upon Himself in those few hours. And multiply that for all of God's people. So Christ gave Himself up for you. So He calls you to give yourself up for your wife. It's tough, right? We don't even naturally think about giving ourselves up for anybody. Sacrificing for anybody. But look back at Ephesians 5:2. Again, this is the application of the gospel. This is not a legalistic list. He's lived for us. He's died for us. He's saved us. He's called us to Himself. And now how does He call us to live? Because we are children of God in Him. There, in verse 5 it says, therefore be imitators of God as, notice this is what you are, beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. In that garden of Gethsemane, looking at satisfying justice and absorbing, taking the wrath of God for His people, He sweat blood, knowing the fear of what He was facing. And yet He strengthened, marched that out. Jesus gave Himself up as an offering for us. He sacrificed Himself. He lived for us. He died for us. This is known as His humiliation. But husbands, He calls you to live for Him, yes, but in the context of how He's put the home together, to live for your wife and your family, and to die if necessary for them. To boldly stand in the face of their enemies, if there be any, to protect your family. But He gave Himself up. So that's a sacrificial love. And that's the first aspect. But notice, this is related. It's an others-focused love. Listen, your joy is found not by looking to yourself and satisfying yourself. In Christ Jesus and after His model, your joy is found in looking away from yourself to Him and to being a blessing to those around you. Starting with the only one flesh relationship you'll ever have on this planet, which is with your wife. Others focused. How can I bless? How can I serve? How can I comfort? How can I forgive and be gracious? Because you know what? They're going to blow it sometimes. Man, we hold grudges in marriage. We fail to apply the gospel to our own hearts in marriage. We bring it up later, which proves we haven't forgiven. Yeah, well, a year ago you didn't tune up my car. Forget that stuff. Look at how you failed Jesus and how He's treated you, and now apply that in your relationship to your wife. Wives, don't use that to take your husbands captive. Submit and serve. Trust Jesus. Remember, gentle and quiet. I promise you, although you don't think so, He can use a gentle and quiet spirit in your home far more than He can use you letting it go. Leave room for Jesus to work in the life of your husband. He's not perfect and He never will be. Hopefully He's growing. To be sacrificial in His love for you, to give Himself up for you and the children, to be others focused and not living for him, His own self and His own pleasure. Now look at this. After giving Himself up, that He might sanctify her. Now this is talking about Christ and His love for His church. Because husbands, you cannot sanctify your wife if you've tried. I've counseled men who've driven their wives insane. Not just trying to boss this thing and boss them into feeling the weight that they have to. You can't sanctify your wife. Don't be careful how you interpret the Scripture. God is sanctifying us through the gospel, through the application of His Word. So Jesus gave Himself up that He might set her apart, the church apart for Him. Having, this is what He's done, cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word. He's cleansed His church. Positionally, we're clean, seated in the heavenly places with Him. Experientially, He's transforming us, cleansing us, turning us, making us like Jesus. But Jesus set Himself apart, sacrificed Himself to set His church apart and cleanse her by the washing of water with the Word, that He might present His church, His body, His members to Himself. Look at, this is who we are positionally, and that's what He's taken us to. And when He comes and we're glorified, this is what we'll be. But positionally, this is what we already are. That He might present His church to Himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. That's who you are in Jesus if you're trusting in Him, and that's who He's making you into in your growth in grace and your sanctification, which will be completed when He finishes that work. But our love is to be based on His love. So it's a sacrificial love. It's an others-focused love. It's to the devotion of those around us. And it's an intentional. It's an intentional love. He did it on purpose. It didn't slip up on Him. He didn't just fall on the cross. He didn't make a mistake and get nailed to the cross and then God just happened to work it out so it'd be okay. He did it on purpose. I've already hinted at this, but He set His love on you before the foundation of the world and committed to come and save you. And at just the right time, Galatians 4:4, He entered into this world to save His people. He intended to save an unworthy bride. He intended to save a bride that nowhere near deserves saving. I mean, when God wanted to... You read the book of Hosea and how He pictures Israel in the book of Hosea as a prostitute that Hosea is to buy and love, even though... We're unworthy. You know what, husbands? You're just as unworthy as she is. None of us are worthy. Jesus is worthy. And we are worthy in Him. And we have the power that raised Him from the dead, the power that created the world. We have the perfect Word of God through which He's working to grow us in being godly husbands. But hear His command, see His example, and decide to love your wife with His kind of love, no matter what she does. Hear His command, see His example, and obey His command. Decide, be intentional to love your wife the way Jesus loves you. It didn't turn out too well in the parable of the unmerciful servant. If you want Jesus to forgive you all your stuff, but you're unwilling to forgive her, that's not a good place to be. Why am I bearing down on you about this? Because you are called to lead. You are entrusted with headship. You are to set an example. Yes, ideally that is easy to submit to. She has to submit to your knuckleheadedness even though you're not perfect. And trust Jesus to work. Now, not putting herself in danger. Wives, please go listen to last week's sermon if you didn't hear it. But you are to lead your home like Jesus. To forgive like Jesus, to be gracious like Jesus, to be devoted like Jesus, to be others focused like Jesus, to live in self-sacrificial love like Jesus. Look quickly at Philippians 2. This is something I want you to go home and just meditate on and ask God to show you how it changes the way you should be a husband. Because all I can do is read this and move on. But look at how he applies the gospel there and puts Jesus forward and then calls his church to humble, trusting imitation of Christ. In Philippians 2, he says, so if there's any encouragement in Christ, and there is, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, look at this, complete my joy by being of the same mind and having the same love and being in full accord and in one mind. How? Do we do that? He's going to tell us. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Wives, count your husbands as more significant than you. Husbands, today, count your wives as more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind, notice this, among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not account equality with God a thing to be grasped or selfishly held on to. In his glory, he didn't get rid of his deity when he came. Another discussion. But emptied himself by taking the form of a servant and being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself further by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess and mean it and live by it ideally, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. God, if you're a child of God, if you're trusting in Jesus, God is working in you to love your wives continually, intentionally, self-sacrificially, and grow in that by the power of His Spirit through the Word of God. It's been purchased for you, and that's what He calls you to do. You're not less than. Apart from Jesus, we all are. But in Jesus Christ, you're not less than. You have the power. You have the gospel. You have the Word. He's calling you to sacrifice yourselves. And see, we're all starting from different places. Just take some steps forward. I'll take the pressure off of you. You're not a perfect husband, and I haven't been talking to your wife. You have room for growth, but you don't jump there in one day. Just start taking some steps forward in the imitation of Christ. I don't feel like I can do that. I don't care. He didn't say if you feel like it. He said, I've provided everything you need for life and godliness to grow in Jesus. Now start taking some steps in faith forward. Love your wife. Intentionally, self-sacrificially. And do it according to how she's put together. I'll just tell you from experience, some of your wives would love a dozen roses. Some of them will be mad at you if you spend money on a dozen roses. Because they would rather go to Riverside Steak and Seafood. Now, ladies, don't get mad if you don't do both. Please make it easy for him to love you. The culture makes you wrap him up in all sorts of hurdles he has to jump over before you will be what you're supposed to be. And Jesus just takes all of that and sweeps it off the table into the trash can. Husbands, love your wives intentionally, enduringly, like Christ loved you as His enemy. And continues to. And will finish the work. And it's an enduring love. It's a never-ending love. That's what I've already brought out. But go home. Philippians 2. But you can also read Psalm 136. Over and over and over and over and over and over again in Psalm 136. It says His steadfast love endures until you mess up. His steadfast love endures forever. He's the basis of Him loving you. He's the sufficiency of Him loving you. He is saving you. He's the Savior, not you. Trust Him. Love Him because of that cross and live for Him. Husbands, sacrifice yourselves for your family. And I put this last on the sheet, and there's more that we could bring out in this section and following Christ's example. But it's a forgiving love. It's a forgiving love. Nowhere in that passage does it say He came to beat us up until we submit and get it all figured out. No, He came to live for us and die for us and grant us that forgiveness we sang about in the first of the song I brought up. Man, if you get that straight, it'll change worship on Sunday. If you know you walking through that door trusting Christ, you are clothed in His righteousness, your sin has been taken from you by His life and His death and His resurrection, come in here with a lot of joy and ready to celebrate Jesus. And you also are ready to be a husband. with that mindset, following that Savior. So quickly, let's turn it. Husbands love for their wives. That's Jesus' love for us, and we brought out a little application as we've worked through there, and there's much more to say. Beginning, I'm coming back next week to bring sort of all this together with husbands and wives in one unit. But in verse 28, in the same way, in case you missed the as before, in the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. One flesh relationship, the only one you'll ever have. Look what he says next. He who loves his wife loves himself. What's the flip side of that? He who hates his wife hates himself. Why? You better believe God holds you accountable in this one flesh relationship, and that your good is through blessing her. Peter calls us to live with our wives in an understanding way so that our prayers might not be hindered. Christ is your wife's defender. And you start treating her like a possession or a plaything and all of this kind of stuff, and he can come right into your situation and make you miserable. For good, in discipline, to make you more like himself. But I can tell you, well, there's not just one time I've been a jerk, but the times that I've been a jerk in our relationship and she went to Jesus, maybe she didn't say a word. Maybe she did. But then she went to Jesus. Oh, man. Those prayers are powerful. Those aren't hindered. Yours are, if you are not loving your wife the way Jesus loves you. So in the same way, this is your love for your wife. Husbands love their wives as their own bodies, loving themselves. You're blessing your own house as you love your wife. If you're failing to love your wife, and this goes for the wife too in the flip side, if you're going your own way, not going Jesus' way, you know, you're tearing your house down with your own hands. You're taking the foundation out from under your children. You're destroying your mate. You think you are doing things right, but if you're not following Jesus' way, you are tearing your house down with your own hands. And I don't know of any of you that are doing that. I'm my own worst example, but His grace and His love calls us to this devoted love for our wives. So in the same way, husbands, be humble. Be gentle, be loving. Husbands, love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. And these are kind of the two words I want to bring out. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, which is you, because we are members of his body. We're together. We're members of the body of Christ. But look at these two words that he uses here. I'm to love my wife as myself. And how am I to do that? I'm to do that the way Jesus loves his body. And he uses two words, to nourish and to cherish. We're called as husbands to nourish our wives and to cherish our wives. Nourish and cherish. So what do those words mean? You know what that nourish means? Nourish. Provide food for. Provide adequate nourishment that the person that's being provided for might thrive. So you're to provide the adequate nourishment for them that they might thrive in Jesus. You're to nourish your wives physically and spiritually and emotionally. Like Jesus nourishes us with food, with the gospel, with the word, the spirit, applying that. He sees to it that we are nourished, that we have our daily bread. It might not be the steak we want, but we have our daily bread. We have what we need. And having the gospel, Paul says, I've learned to be content in whatever situation I'm in because I have Him. This is all temporary. His service is here. Eternity comes. Joyful, satisfied. Pure, happy. But see, God calls us as husbands to meet the needs of our wives too. And I know ultimately that's Him and it's Him through us. And yes, you have to go out and work and be a provider. And you are the head of the household. I did not say the wife can't work. I don't think she should, if possible, with little children in the house that are needing to be raised up. But I'm not saying the wife can't work. I don't believe Scripture teaches that. But you are to take the lead in this. You are to take the headship in providing nourishment for your wife and your family. And again, remember, baby steps forward, however that looks in your situation. To provide, and men sometimes just see it as, well, I'm the provider. I have to provide. That's why I'm gone all the time and I'm never home. Well, you're not providing if that's true. You might be buying a ton of bread and tricycles and... It's a tough balance. And I know you have to be gone sometime and the Marine Corps sends you away for 7 months and all that kind of stuff. I'm not talking about not doing that. But pressing into being there as much as possible. Yes, providing for the needs of the family. But sometimes we number one, we take wants and turn them into needs and work two jobs so we can have a big boat. If that calls you and makes you go away from your family, stop it. Being used by God as the primary head of that provision, providing for the physical needs of the family, but that pales in comparison to providing for the spiritual needs of the family. To you leading in your home as a man who loves Jesus, who's real about his failure and shows his kid how to fail and run to the throne of grace, and who is growing in this joyful devotion to Jesus and teaching your children and your wife who he is. Your wife... I have a lot of experience. Your wife might be really a lot smarter than you are. But you can still lead and see to it that your wife and your children are being fed not just physically, but nourished spiritually. The Old Testament model was as you walk through the day, down the path, you're talking about the Word of God, hiding it in your heart, you know. Your job may or may not akin more to that. You know, you may have to do, one of the ways that you can do this, not the only way, is through family worship. We have some books in the back that will help you with that. You're not going to be good at it when you start, and you're not ever going to be perfect at it. But your kids need to see you loving Jesus and see you teaching them and praying for them. He doesn't expect you to teach what you don't know. But listen, the gospel is so simple that little bitty kids can get it. So you can do that. And there we have a lot of materials that can help you. So providing physically for your family, providing spiritually for your family, part of that is making sure your family is in a good, nurturing environment. The church won't take your job and do it for you. You're to raise up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But we will help you with that, all that we can. And Sunday classes are only one way we're trying to do that. But let me just throw this out there, and this is just a hypothetical. But let's say that you have a job, a good job, you're doing good, and you have a good church where you live, and you're thriving, your family's thriving between that. You get another job opportunity in another city, where you can't find a good church and the people that live there tell you, really slim pickings here, don't take your family there. Unless God is calling you to go be a missionary there or something. Sacrifice to keep them in a thriving environment. I'm not trying to get you to all stay at Grace Church. Because I know God moves us around. But that spiritual component in your evaluation of where you might be going is just as important, if not more important, than that job component. It is really more important. Because God's going to meet your needs. Be careful that you're not just living by sight and not by faith. And then emotionally, husbands are to strive to meet the emotional needs of our wives. I mean, I get it a lot of days. Well, I'll tell you a funny story. The guy I used to work with in the wholesale business, my partner eventually, we ran a route and we're running around all over the place in our vans. Well, his wife was a school teacher. But this was during a time when she was off school and had been home by herself all day. And so he's trying to prepare for getting home and exhausted and, being willing to talk about his day and all that kind of stuff. Well, he stopped in front of the house in his van and she ran out the door to the truck. And he's like, he rolled the window up. Like, he wasn't ready. I wasn't ready to talk. Listen, I know you don't always want to talk about your day. But look at Jesus. Realize she's been in a house. Most of our people have a lot of children. Children, I love you. She's been in a house full of maniacs all day. Mine! Ah! Ah, stop it! Ah! And boy, she needs a break and she needs some good adult conversation. On the way home, be praying into that. Get your rest then. Go in that door with Jesus' servant's robes on and seek to just... Sometimes you can just sit down and listen. Most of the time, she don't want you to fix it anyway. She just need to tell somebody about it. If it starts with your children, just know. Just equip yourself and just don't immediately try to fix it. Let her get it off her chest. And go in and go to your children. Spend some time with your children. Don't go home, grab the paper, kick up in a chair, put a bubble around yourself and dare anybody to enter it and blow them away when they do. You do that later. Go in the house with a servant's attitude to serve your wife and your children. That's what Jesus did and does for us. He's always there, always ready, always listening, ready to forgive. Serve your wife, serve your children in your home. Now look at this, cherish. This falls sort of in line with that emotional component. You're to cherish your wife. Well, that sounds like a manly Marine Corps Navy word, doesn't it? Not a cherisher. Well, you better be. No more manly person ever lived than Jesus. And He cherishes us as men. It's not a bad word. And we are to... Do you think that way? Let me just pause, hit pause button. Do you as a man dwell in the reality that Christ is devoted to you, nourishing you, everything you need, and He cherishes you? The Bible says you are His treasured possession, that He sings over you because the gospel is true. I don't know how you see Him, but if you see Him, His return is now. I mean, do you see Him as welcoming you with love on His face or harshness and you're afraid to go? The more you get the gospel, the more you see His love for you and the fact that He cherishes you, that you're His treasured possession, you're His brother, not just His people, but His brothers and sisters in the faith. And so that word cherish means, husbands, we are to impart warmth and comfort and tender care. Don't get mad at me, that's word. You are to pamper your wives. Well, that's not my personality. Well, I know. But that's the one He's calling you to. Humility, to cherish your wives. She should growingly feel like she is treasured and cherished and number one on this planet under Jesus in your life and in your eyes. Devotion, warmth, comforting, tender caring, pampering her, to give her extreme kindness, gentleness, tender care, and attention. Yes, men, you are to be gentle and kind and tender like Jesus. To continually cultivate care and affection in your home. About now we need to remind ourselves of the gospel because we fail, but there's forgiveness and growth. Don't just grab forgiveness and not press into growth. Forgiveness that we might grow. Some of us are our aura is just just rough and tough and hard, sullen, withdrawn. Listen, it's okay to understand how your temperament is put together, but it's not okay to be defined by it. You're defined by the gospel. You're defined by Jesus and who He is and who He's called you to be. Cultivate care, warmth, and affection. Speak with love to your wife. Wives, make it easy. Make it easy. Be careful. Be really careful of reading books or watching movies, and don't lifetime your husband. I don't care if you watch chick flicks. I don't care. But this, for the most part, very few of them present reality. Butter commercials, whatever it is, you know. The old, what was it? I can't remember the guy's name. Fabio or whatever. Don't hold your husband to an unrealistic standard. Know who he is. Make it easy for him to love and lead you and serve you, and submit to that even though it's imperfect, because you have a perfect Savior to whom you look. I said this last week and I'll say it again, that ladies, we are weak and easily derailed. We're easily derailed. We need your love and respect. We feel like we don't have it. It will tank us. Now, guys, not an excuse. Eyes on Jesus. You have all the love and respect that you'll ever need, okay? But I'm just telling you, ladies, it's important. Don't put hurdles in front of your husband. I need to be careful. Don't make him wash dishes before you'll be intimate with him. That's worldly stuff. That's not the way Jesus treats you. Now, he should want to. He should want to serve you. I know I'm never more... I have to watch my words. I'm never more alluring than when I'm vacuuming the house, I think. It doesn't take a six-pack. It's a plug and a cord and... But don't hold him to that before you'll be who you're supposed to be as a wife. Because you know what? You'll kill it. Legalism kills. It doesn't fuel. But guys, be humble servants in your house. Lead in humility. Lead in practice. Lead in provision. Lead in tender care. Give what you want to get. Not to give and get, but love Jesus and love your wife. She is to know she is treasured by you, that she is secure in your relationship. If all of the wheels fall off, you will still be there. Wives, same thing, right? In sickness and health, till death do us part. I was deeply impacted by a man who was president of the seminary in Columbia, South Carolina, writing all these books, high profile in ministry, president of the seminary. His wife got Alzheimer's, and he quit all of that and went home. And he said it was his joy because of Jesus and all of the love that she had given him. Good human model. Sometimes we're not good husbands because we don't believe the gospel. We don't believe Jesus treasures us just as He does the church. But let me just give you a few points and I need to go, because again, I'm like last week, running long. I know this kind of sermon brings conviction. It does to me. I had to live with it all week. You're just getting it today, so live with it all week, okay? Ask your wife how you can do better. That's a scary thought. How else you going to know, you know, whether she wants roses or dinner or both? Pray and confess your failure to love your wife like Jesus, and embrace His forgiveness and His righteousness credited to you. Also confess it to your wife. I heard stories last week of women leaving here and changing plans to say, because some of their husbands wasn't here, but even in the midst of here, ladies saying, "I am sorry," to their husbands. I have not submitted to Christ and therefore to you the way I should be doing that. That's the kind of thing I want to see happening this week with you guys. Confess where you... nothing that produces intimacy. Confess where you've blown it. Ask for prayer. Seek to grow. Step by step. But make it flow out of the gospel in your understanding of His forgiveness of you and His righteousness credited to you. Number two, renew your vows. I'm not talking about a big ceremony. I'm talking about right now. Renew your vows to your wife in your own heart. Maybe you go home and do it in your living room. Because Jesus loves you. An imperfect church. Review in your own heart your devotion when you stood with her face to face and said you were committed to her in sickness and health, to whatever comes, till you die, that you're joyfully committed to her because you love her and you love Jesus. Do that again. Recommit. Sit down. Stand up. Get away from the kids. Get somebody to keep them. They will interrupt things like this. I told you I love you, kids. It's okay. It's who kids are. But sometimes we need just that husband and wife relationship. If you never get a date night with your wife because you have children, please let us know. We'll fix that. We have a lot of able babysitters in this church that would be joyful to take your children and let you go to Riverside Steak and Seafood or somewhere else and have a meal.
With flowers.
And good smelling stuff on. Okay, now, so pray and confess your failure, receive His forgiveness and righteousness, confess it to your wife, renew your vows and your devotion to her in Jesus and to be a husband like this, and get busy leading the way in nourishing and cherishing. Take the lead, seeing that your family is well nourished, provided for physically, provided for spiritually, provided for emotionally. Tell your kids you love them all the time. Tell them you're proud of them. Tell them, get their honeys when they're doing bad and build them up when they're doing good. Don't leave that second part off. I mean, I just got told when I was messing up. That's why I'm so messed up. No. She's like, no. Pour into that with your wife. See, we're afraid to compliment one another because we're afraid the other take advantage of it. Isn't that sad? Don't be like that. Lead in providing the physical, the spiritual necessities, the emotional necessities. Lead in seeing that they're well nourished in the home, in word and prayer, and in the church. Place a high priority on worship and community. They should see you devoted to and delighted in and pressing into worshiping God in community and see you taking delight in the Savior. I don't know if you've noticed this. A lot of times when we'd be in church singing, and the kids would be watching. Because they're going to mimic you. And if you're just walking around looking like you've been baptized in pickle juice, and when you come to church, you just say, that's what they're going to be when they grow up. Abandon yourself to Christ. Worship Him with enthusiasm. Live for Him. Promote that in the house. And I want to end in one place. Because we get this confused. Only follow the example of your earthly father in that he was following Jesus. Because guys, we model ourselves after our dads. And if our dad was a pit boss in the house, that's what we're going to be in the house. If he was a mouse, we're going to be a mouse. Just generically speaking, only follow the example of your earthly father, stepfather, whoever, in that they were following Christ. Identify and learn from their mistakes. You're not devaluing them when you do that. No man who's ever lived has been perfect. Dads, seek to set the right example, but help them keep in their own minds, dad's not Jesus. Dad makes mistakes. My dad never, I don't think, admitted to being afraid of anything or really didn't admit making mistakes and all that kind of stuff. Just big, tough, bear, brr. Only follow the example of your earthly father as he followed Christ. Servant leader, not a slave driver. A lot of us had slave driving daddies. Just do what I say. Or I'm going to beat you. And basically treated a wife like that. And the beating could be physical or verbal, emotional. That's not Jesus. I didn't say don't love your parents. Love them, appreciate them, but realize they are flawed sinners just like you. So only follow their, and wives, same with your mothers. Only follow their example to the extent that they followed in Christ. But men, look up, wake up if you're asleep. Look at me. Harshness is never excused. You being harsh with your wife or harsh with your family, physical abuse certainly, or verbal abuse, is never justified. Ever. I don't care what she does or they do. Jesus doesn't abuse you for your failure. He abused Himself. He took that. If your kids are being really bad and they really make you mad, take a minute before you discipline. Just harshness and abuse, opposite of what Jesus is never justified. So husbands, love your wives with your speech, with your time, with your physical affection. Treat her like a queen, like a co-heir of life in Jesus, just as important as you are, and see her needs as more important than yours. She should feel cherished and honored and loved, and she should be led joyfully and gently. Servant leadership like Jesus. So lead her faithfully and gently like your Savior. Be servant leaders like Jesus in your home. Confess it when you blow it. Hold her to the same standards Jesus holds you. Forgive her like He forgives you. You have no right to hold on to grudges in the gospel. You deal with that with Christ and then extend that to your spouse, wherever that is. I'm not peeping in your windows. Husbands, follow your leader and love your wives like Jesus loves the church. And we'll talk more about marriage, husband and wife together next week. And then we'll talk about children and all of that. And then workplace and spiritual warfare, and on we'll go. But I love you. I thank you. Pray for me. We're all needing growth. Day by day, step by step, growing and being better husbands, better wives. Pray for one another. Pray for your family especially. And be real and be like Jesus in your home. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your love and grace. Thank You for Your sacrifice that washes away our sin. Your blood, redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sins. Thank You for the righteousness that God requires, being a free gift in Christ Jesus. That if we're trusting in Jesus, our record is one of perfection. And that You are transforming us now into what we already are as Your Spirit applies Your Word. Help us as husbands to nourish, to cherish, to serve, to love, to lead like Jesus. To treasure the blessing of the relationships that You've given us, and to seek to honor and glorify You in the context of the family. Thank You for Your forgiveness. Thank You for Your righteousness. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your Spirit and Your power to apply that Word. Grow us in grace, Lord. May none of us have our head down ongoingly after this sermon. May our hope be in Jesus and in the gospel, and may our intention and our purpose be to walk like Jesus, and in our homes to love and lead and serve like Jesus loves and leads and serves us. Lord, bless us to be husbands and wives that glorify You. And bless us to be a church that glorifies You. And may our marriages growingly, in a positive and good and growing way, picture the relationship of Christ in the church. Lord, we give You praise and we thank You for Your love. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.